Hello, and welcome to Our Planet Sings on CFRU 93.3 FM. My name is Rob Dixon, and I'll be talking to you today about environmental issues and the value of artistic and emotional accounts of nature. Today on Our Planet Sings, we'll be hearing lots about the organic conference that took place a couple weeks ago in the UC. Up next is the world of vermicomposting, from small to mega scale. It was a workshop on vermicomposting that was recorded for CFRU by Jocelyn Kelly a couple weeks ago at the organic conference. Hope you enjoy it.
The World of Vermicomposting from Small to Megascale was a workshop presented by Kathy Nesbitt on Sunday, February 3rd, as part of the 32nd Annual Guelph Organic Conference and Expo that ran from January 31st to February 3rd this year. Kathy Nesbitt is a worm advocate and founder of Kathy's Crawly Composters. Established in 2002, this environmental business specializes in vermicomposting, in other words, composting using worms, and organic diversion. Kathy has been involved in numerous collection and composting research projects and has diverted several tons of organic material from landfills. This workshop was at an hour and a half in duration, so we will be airing it in three 30-minute segments, the first part today, and then the second and third parts over the next two Fridays. The focus is on vermicomposting, although she did spend a few minutes at the end of her workshop on sprouting, which you'll hear her mention, but that's not part of the recording. So here is Kathy.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. First of all, I had carrot juice, okay. Are you concerned about the environment? Wonder what more you can do? Get worms, I say. I'm Kathy from Kathy's Crawly Composters. I'm a worm advocate raising awareness about the benefit of using red wiggler worms to convert food scraps and paper into nature's finest fertilizer. Thank you so much for coming this morning. It's my third time presenting at the Guelph Conference, and I'm thrilled to be here. I'm thrilled that you're here with me Sunday morning. And thank you to my fabulous husband, Rick, for always being so supportive. He's my partner in crime now. It's the 11th anniversary of our Great Green Business, and worms are going to play an ever-increasing role in waste management, soil production, and therefore food security, and it's essential that we learn how. So thank you for coming. Before I begin my talk about the world of worms, and just at the end I'm going to be talking about sprouts as superfood and how the pair are going to solve world hunger, worms for amending the soil and sprouts for eating. So if you'll just allow me a few minutes to introduce how I got into worm composting and how Kathy's Crawly Composters came about, that would be great. I promise you it'll be a good one. So I grew up in Toronto. In 93, Rick and I moved up to Bradford, and I was thrilled. We moved from an apartment, then we were able to have a garden and compost, and it was fabulous, or it still is fabulous, 20 years in Bradford. Several years ago, I looked after a teacher's worm bin, and I was afraid of worms before starting my worm business. Not right before. What? Way, yeah, way. So anybody that's afraid of worms, thank you for coming. But once you learn the magic of the worms, you know, you really do have a shift and start to appreciate the reason why we need to have them. You may not want to have them in your house, but at least you can appreciate the value of what they do for us. So I looked after a teacher's bin because I think that even though I was afraid of worms and whatnot, I didn't really want to have them in my house, I knew the value of the worm compost for my garden. So I said, okay, I'm going to take on this challenge for a summer. Well, I ended up having, so the worms were in my basement. I would open up the lid, throw the food in, close the lid, and run upstairs. I didn't want to know worms were in my basement. Yeah, I know. So that summer, if any of you have ever done worm composting and if you've just thrown your food in, you know what happens. You become a fruit fly farmer. And yeah, one thing that I learned from that experience is there's no point in being a fruit fly farmer. There's no market. They die in a day or two. They're hard to catch. So don't be a fruit fly farmer if you decide to take on vermicomposting after my talk. And I hope you do. So when it was time to harvest the worms, I put on big gloves and harvest, which is separating the worms from the compost. I would put on big gloves, dump the whole thing out. It was awful. It was a horrible experience. And I said, never again. I'm never going to do worm composting again. Never say never. Now I'm a worm farmer. Can you imagine? So that was fine. I started to get my psych degree in 1985. I graduated in 2000. So anybody that's in school, stay in school. And there, you'll finish. Just keep going. So 2000, I graduated. And I think I just wanted to be a grad of 2000. I mean, I sound younger, first of all. I graduated from university in 2000. And, no, not and. I mean, just so, 2000, I graduated. And I got a job at a group home working with challenged adults. They had 10 homes and a farm, and they didn't compost. Uh-oh. So I approached them about composting, and I said, why don't you compost? They had a greenhouse, and they had a shop. They had everything that they needed, including people to do the composting. So when I approached them about composting, and I said to management, why don't you compost? They said to me they don't need the fertilizer because they have cows. If you produce any volume of food scraps, you pay a lot to get rid of it. You know, grocery stores, restaurants, you're paying a lot to get rid of that food scraps, that organic matter, because it causes trouble. It smells, it attracts fruit flies, apparently, rodents, you know, and it's just a problem. So you have to pay, they pay a lot to get rid of it. So this group home was paying a lot of money. So I said, well, why don't you do composting? So the greenhouse manager said, why don't we do vermicomposting? So let me just back up a little bit. I was bringing home the food from this group home. And so from my one home, I would bring home 30 or 40 pounds per shift. I was adding it into my backyard composter, and it was time for my composter to be emptied. Oh, yes. So there I was flicking through my compost, and I love composting. Wait a minute. I've messed up the story already. Pardon me. It's the carrot juice talking. I'm going to keep blaming the stop. It's okay. Okay, so the greenhouse manager said, hey, why don't we do worm composting? And I said, oh, my gosh. And has anybody ever done anything that didn't quite work out the way you thought it was going to work out? And then you say, I'm never going to do that again. And then later on, somebody says, hey, why don't we? Maybe not like that, because that's my carrot juice persona. Hey, why don't we do whatever it was that didn't work out? And then you get that feeling in the pit of your stomach, like, oh gosh, that didn't work out the last time I did that. I don't think I want to do that again. Well, that's what happened. But then it was an institution, and the wheels of change take a long time. So I thought, why don't I start researching the worms and vermicomposting and see how this all works? What is the story here? So I started to research the worms and discovered the magic. And I'm going to talk about the magic once I get into my session. I had a shift and started to love the worms. So there I was bringing home all the scraps from the group home. By the way, I worked 3 days on, 4 days off, 14-hour shifts. It's illegal now, I think. So, you know, 3 days on, 1 day dead, and then 3 days. So I would bring home 30 or 40 pounds in those 3 days from the one home that I was working at. So imagine 10 homes, and they had a lunch program. So there was a lot of scraps that were going in landfill. So it was time for my backyard composter to be emptied. But prior to that, as I was doing the research, I had a vision or a dream or something happened one night, and I was harvesting worms, separating the worms from the castings without gloves. I woke up quite refreshed, and I didn't know what it was all about until I went to empty my backyard composter. I had one of those earth machines, you know, the black earth makers. And so rather than the little fiddly drawer at the bottom, I don't know who uses that. I just take the whole thing off, and wow, then I have a mountain of compost. And even without worms, before I realized how magic the worms were, I love compost, and I love just flicking through it. It used to be carrots and onions, and now it's because I'm from Bradford, where the carrot and onion capital, carrots and onions, but other stuff too, turned into this fabulous magic material that then you can put in your garden and grow more carrots and onions. So there I was flicking through the soil, admiring my compost, and there was worms right in my backyard composter, red wiggler worms. And I had that dream, or whatever it was, and I had an empty bucket. So I was like, oh my gosh, I know they don't like light. I have seconds to grab these worms if I'm going to grab them. And so I grabbed those worms, put them in my bucket, and that was the beginning of my business. Wow. Thank you. Wow. Yeah. It makes me say wow because I missed a part in that story. I thought after I'd done the research, I set up a bin. I said, I'm going to do this again. I'm ready to take this on again. And I called a couple of places in Toronto and they didn't have worms. This was August. And I thought, huh, that's interesting. You can't get red wiggler worms year round in Canada. So, wow. So there were worms waiting right in my backyard. I left the group home because, well, for reasons, because, and I got a job at a school working with one boy. I was a freelance behavior management specialist. Sounds impressive, doesn't it? Doesn't even fit on a business card. And I got injured at work. And when I started my work life, I said I would never stay in a job that didn't serve me, and I never have. So I'm quite proud of myself for not staying. You know, if it was too stressful or I didn't like the people or whatever, I would always leave my job. I was a secretary for 20 years, and I worked 10 years as a temporary secretary. So 2 weeks here, a day there. So, and you have to be pretty independent for that. Anyway, so I was working at a school, got injured, and thought, this isn't working. I can't stay here because I only had one client and I got injured by him. So I was afraid of him. So there I was every day, spending days trying to dodge this one client. No good. So I came home from work one day, really stressed. I was even shorter than I am today. And I opened up the paper. There was an ad that said, are you a woman? Do you have a business idea? And this was a course, a six-month course to write a business plan. I turned to Rick and I said, I'm quitting my job. I'm taking this course. I'm starting a worm business. Hallelujah. Won't that be fun? Yeah, fun. Just know that you're in for a lot of work if you start a worm business. But it's really fun. It really is a great way. And so that is the beginning of my business. My Kathy's Crawley Composters was born there 2002. And wow, it's been quite a magic carpet ride since 2002, I must say. I love life as an entrepreneur. So here we go, the world of worms and sprouting superfood. And I was going through my presentation last night, and I don't know what happened to my agenda. It got lost in transit between Bradford and Guelph. It's on the 401 somewhere. I don't know where it is. So I'm just going to tell you we're going to talk about worms. And if anyone has questions as we're going along, please just let me know. I'll be taking questions at the end as well. So we're going to cover what is vermicomposting, worm biology, some of the projects that I've done. I'm going to talk about Guatemala, not in this order because I don't have my agenda. Sorry for those that need the agenda type thing. How many people have worms already? Yay, wonderful. Thank you for coming. How many people are thinking about getting worms, but you just need a little bit more information? Or you need to convince your... Yay, fabulous, hallelujah. Or you need to convince your spouse or your partner. And how many people are afraid of worms and you were dragged here kicking and screaming? Okay. Oh, good. Oh, hey. Wait a minute. He belongs to me. So what is vermicomposting? Really, it's just composting, same as outdoor composting. Wait a minute. Where's the other part? Has something else come up? I don't know what happens here. I'm not used to working with PowerPoint, so bear with me. So here we go. So worm composting is just composting with worms. It can be done inside or outside, small scale, large scale. It really is part of the solution. You know, the solution to our garbage crisis is several solutions, and I believe that vermicomposting and composting is going to play a major role. When I started my business, I heard that a pound of worms and their descendants could transform a ton of organic waste in a year. And prior to that, I heard that the average Canadian family produces a ton of organic waste. So I said, wow, every family needs a pound of worms. And I'm just the one to put a pound of worms in every house. Yep. And then I started doing shows like this. I mean, the Guelph Organic Show is one thing because people are already on side. But doing other like home shows and things like that, not so much. And so people would be at my neighbor's learning about whatever, and then they'd come to my booth and say, hey, what are you doing here? And when I said that I had worms and what I was doing, you know, they'd step back, they'd tell their kids to stay away, that it was dirty. And yeah, and so it was, you know, quite a journey. And I thought, how am I going to put worms in every house if people are afraid of worms, like I was? And I think that I was afraid of worms so that I could relate to people when they say, oh my gosh, what do I do with the worms in the winter? And then I say, well, no, it's indoor year round. How do you like me now? you know, not so easy. So yeah, so that's in a nutshell what it is. Okay, so now time for some little micro videos. Yeah, question.
Sorry, just as a question.
Yes.
You said it has to be outdoor.
Indoor or outdoor.
Can it be outdoor year-round, even in Canada?
Yes. It can be. The question was, can it be outdoor year-round in Canada? Yes, it can. And Glenn Monroe can attest to that. Fabulous. So I'm going to be talking a little bit more about outdoor systems, but it's just creating the right environment and having it insulated. Having an insulated system, either it's buried in the ground or insulated, you keep adding your nitrogen to heat it up. Although this is mesophilic or even temperature process, adding in lots of nitrogen, that will help to boost up the temperature, and then you can create some thermophilic going on, and then that will create some heat.
Mm-hmm.
Mesophilic, even temperature. Yeah, I know, I sound so smart, don't I? And thermophilic is heating up. Like thermometer, thermo.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that. Thank you for that. Yeah, so I'll be talking more about that. And so it's really just keeping your worms warm so that they, you know, so that they can keep going. They are definitely going to slow down in the winter one way or another.
You're listening to the World of Vermicomposting from Small to Megascale on CFRU 93.3 FM. This workshop was presented by Kathy Nesbitt on Sunday, February 3rd, as part of the 32nd Annual Guelph Organic Conference and Expo. We will return to Kathy's wonderful worm workshop after a song by The Arrogant Worms. Carrot juice is murder.
Listen up, brothers and sisters. Come hear my desperate tale. I speak of our friends of nature trapped in the dirt like a jail. Vegetables live in oppression, served on our tables each night. This killing of veggies is madness. I say we take up the fight. Salads are only for murderers. Coleslaw's a fascist regime. Don't think that they don't have feelings just cause a radish can't scream. I've heard the screams of the vegetables. Watching their skins being peeled,
having their insides revealed,
weighted and steamed with no mercy. How do you think that feels?
That it hurts really bad.
Carrot juice constitutes murder,
and that's a real crime.
Greenhouses, prisons for slaves.
Let my vegetables go.
It's time to stop all this gardening.
It's dirty as hell.
Let's call the spade a spade.
Is a spade, is a spade, is a spade, is a spade.
I saw a man eating celery, so I beat him black and blue. If he ever touches a sprout again, I'll bite him clean in two. I'm a political prisoner, trapped in a windowless cage, cause I stopped the slaughter of turnips by killing five men in a rage. I told the judge when he sentenced me, this is my finest hour. I'd kill those farmers again just to save one more cauliflower. I've heard the screams of the vegetables,
screams,
watching their skins being peeled,
having their insides revealed,
weighted and steamed with no mercy.
Burning of calories.
How do you think that feels?
That it hurts really bad.
Carrot juice constitutes murder,
and that's a real crime.
Greenhouses, prisons for slaves.
Let my vegetables
go. Time to stop all this gardening.
It's dirty as hell.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Is a spade is a
spade. How low as people do we dare to stoop, making young broccolis bleed in the soup.
Untie your beans, uncage your tomatoes, let potted plants free. Don't mash that potato.
Whoa, no, spare the spine, eat a cow instead. I've heard the screams of the vegetables, watching their skins being peeled,
in the stir fry are
grated and steamed with no mercy.
You fat gourmet scum,
how do you think that feels?
Leave them out in the fields.
Carrot juice constitutes murder.
V8's genocide.
Greenhouses, prisons for slaves.
Yes, your compost.
It's time to stop all this.
is gardening.
Take up macrame.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Is a spade is a spade
is a spade is a spade is a spade is a spade is a spade.
Welcome. Join us. So now I wanted to, the title of my talk in the book is From Small to Mega Scale. So I'd like to even take it smaller than small and go down to the micro world, because the worms are not working alone. There are probably several thousand different types of microorganisms that work in a compost system or a worm bin. Look at my two AV guys jockeying, like, who's going to come and help me? Because I have no idea. Just so you know, Rick and I don't have any mobile technology. We're kind of quarter carriers. For the younger set, that means we use payphones. We need two now. So it's fine. You know, it's an interesting thing, just a bit of an aside while we're waiting for the videos to come up, is... people will judge us for not having technology. Like, how do you run a business without a cell phone? Well, what do you mean? We have a phone number and we have an email. You can get in touch with us. You can come and knock on our door. What's that?
Henry Ford did it.
That's right. So here we go. Thank you, Rick. So we've got a few little... We bought a digital imager this year. And if you have a worm bin and you have kids, get a digital imager. $80 at that science place. Epsom Science. Okay, now I'm slaughtering the name. Oh, sorry. Sorry, the science company. You know where I mean, where you get the science stuff. so much for my thermophilic, and then I sound so smart, and then the stuff. Okay, so we bought a digital imager, and wow, when you can look at the stuff that's going on there, you can't see it with your eye, but then when you look with this thing. So the springtails are my favorite... The springtails are probably one of my favorite... microorganisms. There's maybe 20,000 different varieties. They're awesome decomposers. So like I said, they work in tandem with the worms. The worms don't have teeth, so there's little critters in the system that work for the bugs, with the worms. So this is springtails, closer and then closer. Fabulous. And they're all about 30 seconds. They're silent films, so I can keep talking. Those little white things. So sometimes you can see them. Microorganisms will show up in your worm bin or in a composting system depending on conditions. So if it's really wet, you'll get a certain organism. If it's a bit drier, if it's acidic or whatever. So the different conditions. Oh, sorry, that guy's not doing so good. There we go. Look at back to the raceway. Look at how many there are. And, I show these at schools, but I'm careful to show them. I don't always show them to kindergarten kids because I don't want them to be afraid of the soil, because this is what's in the soil, all these little wonderful bugs. All right. Is that one? Aren't you playing it again? Okay.
So they come... They'll arrive naturally, or do you also have to add them to the soil?
Do they arrive naturally, or do you have to add them? Well, when you start your worm bin... when you start your worm system, you do need to add some kind of soil or compost, something in, so that you're adding in the microorganisms, so that you can give your compost, your bin a jump start. Otherwise, the worms won't have any way to eat. So they'll be looking at that banana peel, although they can't see. And if they could talk, they'd say, wow, that banana peel looks really great. I'm just waiting for my bug friends to break that down. But the bug friends are not in there because you haven't added them in. So yes, if you can add in some, and if you can add in some casting, some worm compost, even better, because then you've really got the microorganisms that are going to work right away. Next one is tortoise mites. And there are, again, 20 to 40,000 different types of mites. And people hear the word mites and bacteria and stuff, and they get all freaked out. Don't. Don't be bugged by the bugs. They're there to help us. So isn't this cool footage?
Oh, I've seen these guys.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. He's not doing too good either. Turn over. And so you can see how giant the springtail. That was a springtail that, those springtails aren't doing too good either. Look at this guy. Compared to in size, the springtail is a giant to the little tortoise mite. And then there's another type of mite that we'll see a little bit later on in this video. This one seems really long. Oh, there we go. So that's a different type of mite. Any idea, Glenn? Do you know what that one is? Sorry to put you on the spot. I know it's Sunday morning. Isn't this cool footage? You can see the slimy, gooey stuff in there, and that's the worm... all the fabulous stuff that's going to help grow the plants. Okay, so next one is These ones are potworms. This one's not that exciting. Well, sorry, potworms. They're lovely too. Anchocyid is the Latin name for potworms. They show up in a worm bin or a compost system when conditions are on the wet side, maybe on the, a little bit becoming anaerobic or without oxygen. So if you have a lot of these, and they look like baby red wigglers. People often say, oh, there's all these little white worms. Are they baby red wigglers? Not if they're pure white. If they're pure white, they're probably the potworms. They don't get bigger in size. That's what they do. They stay that size. Also decomposers, they're fabulous. But if you have a big explosion of those, you might want to check the moisture and the pH level to make sure it's more alkaline. Next, Suivant. Oh, this one. Okay, wait, is that the egg?
Yeah.
Very exciting. So this one is super cool. So worms produce eggs, and there are up to 20 babies in each egg. 5 or 6 is the average. The eggs are about the size of a swollen sesame seed. I used to say a grape seed, but, you know, grapes don't have seeds anymore. so really the younger kids, they look at me like grapes are seedless. What is she talking about? So they're swollen. Thanks for laughing at my lame jokes. Okay. So this is video footage. I don't even know how Rick got this, but video footage of a worm inside a worm egg, and don't be distracted by the springtail. They'll try to trick you to look away, but keep your eye on the egg. You'll see a red thread. It looks like a red thing. Don't be distracted by the springtail. And then we get a closer up one, and you can see it's pulsing there. Can you see the... Wow, look at that.
Cool.
If you're a worm farmer, that's money. Cool. Isn't that cool? Want to see that one again? No. These are all on my website, so you can have a look at those anytime. Fabulous. Thank you, Rick. That's beautiful. And then, do we have more?
Yeah, the...
This is, okay, I said that was my favorite. This is really my favorite one. This is my favorite when I do school workshops. This is, Rick was doing videoing in the worm bin, and he wasn't sure which end of the worm he was videoing. It became apparent very quickly. So I say to the kids, you're going to be looking at this one going, wow, look at all that. You could see those. You see all the muscles move. Wow. And then, so you'd be like, oh. So there you go. So that's how I'm going to set that one up, which end it is. And I'm going to watch your faces. Don't look away. Oh, see, yeah. The kids go, play it again. They love it. So graphic. But you know, if we pooped like a worm, look at those, like a perfect little log. Beautiful. Okay, so there we go. Sunday morning sessions. Aren't they great? Fabulous. All right, so thank you, sir. That's fantastic. All right. Thank you very much. I'm a dinosaur when it comes to stuff. Okay. So weren't those awesome? Yeah. The digital imager. It's so fun. I don't know how I get anything else done. We actually bought a microscope, and then I spend hours, and then I have raccoon eyes, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how did all those hours go by? I know, there's medication for that.
Carrot juice.
Carrot juice. No more mention of the carrot juice, unless we attach Fennings to that. Okay, so we're going to talk about worm biology a little bit. And if anyone has questions, there was a question at the back that I missed earlier, did I not? No? Okay.
Well, how much soil or compost should you add to your...
I'm going to talk about setting up the worm bin shortly, so I'll get to that if you can hold on to that one for a moment. What's that thing? Uh-oh, help IV guy.
All the letters are on top of each other.
Oh, all the letters are on top. Okay, so I'll just translate that for you. okay, so, well, worms have... Here's about the biology. Worms have 5 hearts each. 800 to 1,000 red wiggler worms in a pound. That's 4 to 5,000 hearts in a pound of worms. You know it's February. It's a great Valentine's gift. A pound of worms, way more loving than a pound of chocolates. And it's the gift that keeps on giving instead of pudding. So there you go. Valentine's, I have to do my little plug. And, you know, it is Heart Month. February is Heart Month. Don't you think that worms could be the mascot for February?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Okay, the second point, let's see. Looks like a heart, too. Ah, sure. Okay, so worms are, I guess there's no point in Are any of these going to show up? Nope. Okay. So, yeah, worms are, they're hermaphrodites, meaning male and female. Still takes two worms to reproduce. And, yeah. So this is the carbon nitrogen one. Thank you, partner in crime. So worms require a carbon-nitrogen mix, as mentioned, just like regular composting. So the carbon can be shredded paper, leaves, straw, cardboard, any combination of your paper products. I would stay away from glossy magazine paper, any of your flyers that are really colorful, and construction paper, sort of as a guide. If you're going to use bond paper, it's okay. I would suggest a combination of bond paper and newsprint or cardboard, as it's more absorbent. Yes?
The straw and the shavings is the carbon in the farm?
Yes, straw and shavings. Wood shavings are going to take a little bit longer to break down, and that's fine. They add in some porosity so that your material doesn't become too compacted and become anaerobic without oxygen and start smelling. This is aerobic process, meaning with oxygen, so it needs to have airflow in the bedding so that the worms can do their great work. They breathe through their skin. And the nitrogen is the food scraps, so your coffee grounds, tea bags, bananas, vegetable peels, manures, those are all your nitrogen sources. Patrick?
Are eggs okay?
Oh, eggshells, yes. And you need to add eggshells into your system or calcium carbonate, some kind of something to balance the pH. A lot of the material that you're putting in your worm bin is acidic, so that helps to balance the pH. So you add eggshells on an ongoing basis. Or if you don't eat eggs, then you could use calcium carbonate, agricultural lime. You could crush up Rolaids in a pinch. Yes, at the back?
Great neighbors, they'll save them for you.
If you have nice neighbors, they might save them. That's right, at the back. Of leaves?
Yeah.
Yes, you can use the leaves. I would want to know the source. I mean, if you get a couple of tons, it's probably not going to, there's probably not going to be that much spray on them. But you want to know, same with grass clippings. You want to make sure that it's not somewhere that they've put a lot of chemicals or whatever on the grass. And same with, any of your chemicals, you would want to stay away from those. But yeah, the leaves are great, though, from the municipal. Leaves would be perfect, but you want to chip up your leaves. And oak leaves take a long time, so you really want to chop those up pretty good.
You have just heard the first 30 minutes of World of Vermicomposting from Small to Mega Scale on CFRU 93.3 FM. This was a workshop by Kathy Nesbitt and was recorded on Sunday, February 3rd, during the 32nd Annual Guelph Organic Conference and Expo. If you want to hear the next two 30-minute segments, which I highly recommend, those will be aired on Friday, February 2nd, and then also Friday, March 1st, between 9 and 10 a.m. Also, if you'd like some additional information on vermicomposting and find out more about Kathy's work and maybe see some of those cool worm videos she talked about, you can check out our website at kathyscomposters.com.